following is a production of Dirty Mo Media.
All right, we are rolling.
5 seconds. Here we go. 5 second countdown. Five. Nope. We're live.
And we're live. Welcome to Dirty Mo Live, everybody. We're such professionals in here at the Dirty Mo Live studio. I feel good about it. Travis, you've already opened your beer.
Yeah.
We are starting off with a really serious announcement that you can't be drinking beer for, so I'm going to need you to
focus. Well, then I'm taking your beer.
Executive order number 02-16-2023. This is an executive order issued on February 16th, 2023 by Dirty Mo Media LLC, DMM, to its Daytona 500 participants. Denny Hamlin, Connor Daly, Freddie Kraft, and TJ Majors, hereinafter referred to as the DMM Racers. This statement shall serve as the only notice given to the parties hereto regarding the subject matter hereof, including the duels on the evening of February 16th, 2023, and the Daytona 500 race on the afternoon of February 19th, 2023. And as of February 16th, 2023, supersedes and replaces any prior or future written or oral agreement between them and any other parties, such as race teams and manufacturers, that may have been issued to DMM racers. Each DMM racer will, with no exceptions, do everything within their power to advance the position of all other DMM racers in all Daytona race events. They are not to cause damage, injury, or loss in running position to any other DMM racer or to the vehicles operated or spotted for by a DMM racer. DMM racers can compete among themselves, as DMM makes no demand as to the order in which the DMM racers must finish, as long as no action taken by any DMM racer causes other resulting damages or loss of any additional positions to any other DMM racer. DMM hereby represents that the clear and obvious expectation is for a DMM racer to win the Daytona 500, and the other three DMM racers shall finish in positions 2 through 4.
How long did it take you to write that?
Not very long, actually.
I've had did to you read, get a lawyer?
I've had to read some contracts lately, so yeah. It really wasn't that hard. All right, now that we got that out of the way.
Do you want me
so basically, can we translate?
So all people Please. Associated with Dirty Mo Media must operate together as teammates.
Yeah.
Exactly. Denny and Connor, I believe, are in the same duel tonight. So should I text Denny and make sure he got that order?
Yeah, we should make sure that he got the team orders from DMM. That's important. Yeah,
I put in the DBC group chat because we were trying to figure out what time to record on Monday, and they're like, well, what happens if, you know, and I won't jinx it, but say someone takes that checkered flag. And then I said, well, what's more important, being on time for door bumper clear or winning the Daytona 500? Like, I think the answer is pretty clear.
Well, it depends on who we're talking about. Yeah. DBC, they should be on time even if they win the Daytona 500 and still tape on Monday, because Denny is committed to taping on Monday regardless of
yeah.
the outcome.
Yeah. And if the driver can tape on Monday, then the spotters can for sure.
That's how I feel.
Yeah.
Also, the content will be better if somebody wins. So that's really what I care about.
And you're going to be coming off no sleep.
We need that trophy on Denny's table on the set.
Agreed. It would be a nice addition to the Action's Detrimental set. All right, so let's introduce everybody. I am Tiff Powers, head of content at Dirty Mo Media. This is Travis Rockhold. He produces Action's Detrimental with Denny Hamlin and Dirty Mo Doe with Steve Letarte. Andrew Curlin, host of Next Level, producer of Next Level, producer of Door Bumper Clear, editor on the Dale Jr. Download. Probably something else that I'm forgetting. I don't know.
Yeah, a lot of hats.
We've got Dustin Lee in the booth, who's our executive producer today and in charge of us. Sort of.
He already failed on the countdown, though. He already failed on the countdown. He's like 5, 4. Nope. Actually,
and
we're live.
You're live.
Actually,
that would actually be our social producer that failed on the countdown.
That was me. I said, "Screw it. We're doing it live."
Well, that is our motto.
Yeah.
And that voice, Alex Timms, producer of the Dale Jr. Download, and we also have Ben Walton here, Speed Street producer. So we've got the full producer lineup in house today. I feel pretty good about it, y'all.
How do you feel with, like, trying to corral us today? Mike's gone.
Yeah, I feel like we're kind of left to our own devices today, and probably not as much work is getting done as it should, but that's all right. We're here, having a beer.
Trying to figure out why the first comment in the chat is from Mike Davis.
Yeah, it's from Mike.
And it says, why is nobody answering my phone calls?
That's true. He tried to call me when I was down talking to these guys, and I did not have my phone on me. So, wow. Sorry, Mike.
So, like, does he think, oh, Tiff doesn't have her phone on her, but she's definitely checking the YouTube comments.
Apparently. But luckily, we have someone checking them for us, so.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. When are you guys going down to Daytona? That's tomorrow, right? For the live.
This is a sore taping? Subject for Travis, but let's go there.
So, Dale and Mike are going to be doing a Chevy Live experience with Jimmy and Chad Knaus. And so three of us are driving down tomorrow morning. I voted for leaving today. I don't think there was actually a vote, though. I voted, but it's not a democracy.
It wasn't, but I think even if it was, it would have been
2-1. Yeah. So three of us are leaving tomorrow morning. I think it's 7 a.m. is what it's been changed to now. And I have to drive like 30 minutes to get to James's house to then leave.
To then drive to Daytona, to then work at Daytona.
And then on Saturday after we're done, we're coming back.
You're going to be doing 1,000 miles. You're going to be doing double what?
Double the Daytona 500.
Everyone's doing.
In the trip, yeah.
Yeah, that's... Next year, can I stay down longer?
Maybe.
Can we figure out a way that we can do more content then, maybe?
Sure.
So let me ask
you... We were talking about that.
Yeah. We'll bring Speed Weeks back. We'll do weeks of content in Daytona.
It'll be Dirty Mo Media.
Dirty Mo Media gets week one, and then On Track Action comes week two. I have a question, though. You said it was, what, 7 hours of a car ride to get down to Daytona? What's the rule on... What is your rule on aux?
I mean,
what's this is to everybody, even like, at least for me, it's driver gets to choose the songs, or if I'm the driver and I don't want to listen to music, I divvy it to
shotgun control. Shotgun takes over, plays DJ.
Yeah.
So wait, so you're saying that the driver doesn't get the choice. Shotgun is the DJ.
Shotgun's playing DJ.
Shotgun's the DJ, but driver can veto.
Oh.
Yeah.
But see, it's different now because with, you know, Apple CarPlay and everything, you don't have, like, you're not plugging in a phone. So, you know, it's not the same maybe. But so maybe I could do it from the back then.
Or you could listen to Dirty Mo Media podcasts.
Yeah.
That's what everyone else should do. Maybe you've already heard them. We'll give you
You want to listen to Action's Detrimental?
I've edited two of the four. What's the protocol on, if I'm in the back, is it messed up if I just put earbuds in?
For that long of a car ride?
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
Yeah, it might be okay.
Like, Netflix's Full Swing, the golf documentary, just released a bunch of episodes. So, like, I got to find a way to kill 7 hours.
Travis is always talking about golf. Am I the only one picking up on this? He's leaving us for the Masters, and golf works its way in always.
But I'm just figuring out, you know, but what do I do, like, if James and Micah play some music that I just can't listen to?
I think for that long of a car ride, it's okay.
Yeah.
And it's different if it's a group of three versus a group of two, I think. Because at least there's
if there's only two, you don't get to put your earbuds in.
Yeah. So I have this debate all the time at home with my friends, too. It's like, if you're just two people, if you're sitting shotgun, are you allowed to fall asleep in the car? And I want to hear from you guys soon. And if anyone's commenting on YouTube what the protocol is, we'd be interested
in
hearing.
Can't fall asleep.
I don't think you can
you
fall
cannot
asleep.
Fall asleep. No. Mm-mm.
That's tough sometimes.
The only way is maybe if you aren't stopping and you just got done driving a long time.
Yeah, if you're swapping drivers, maybe. Maybe.
But you've got to stay awake and help entertain.
Yeah. What do you guys think?
I normally do passenger seat, shotgun seat, usually does DJ.
Really?
Yeah. I'm a driver, so I don't really want to focus on the music that much.
Interesting.
People are crazy on long road trips.
See, I hate driving, so I'm like, I'm hoping that the other two want to drive, and I don't have to. Like, I'm going to volunteer and say, hey, I'll do my time if need to, but I'm hoping they're like, no, I've got this. I'm like, okay, take it. Jesus, take the wheel.
What? All right, we talked about this briefly, but road trip snacks, you're gonna pick two snacks, one drink. What you got?
Well, we know the first snack that I would pick, and it's the one that's been sitting on my desk here at Dirty Mo.
Goldfish,
which, by the way, I just ran out of.
He's got a barrel of goldfish.
It's not a barrel; it's a giant box.
It's like the Costco Sam's Club. Yeah. Actually, I think you get those at Walmart too, or regular stores.
Yeah. What do you guys think of peanut butter pretzels? That would be my number two with body armor, probably. Okay. Stay hydrated.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a good one. Those are good.
It is, yeah.
I would go with Sour Patch Watermelon.
And interesting. That is a niche
that is really
choice.
Specific.
You get all that right. Sugar rush. And then I would do something maybe like just like some pretzel sticks.
Yeah, I'm going maybe something healthier-ish.
Are you putting us to shame
crackers?
Here?
No, just as one of my snacks. And then my other snacks like sour Skittles or sweet tarts or something like that.
See, the problem with like the peanut butter crackers is they end up getting all over you.
That's true.
And then I probably, I need some sort of, I'm not a big caffeine person, but for a road trip, I would need to get, some kind of pop.
I need... He means a flavor
you mean
of
soda?
Coke, some kind of
no,
Coke.
That's wrong too.
I would, for a drink, I mean, you got to have a water in there, but sweet tea or Mountain Dew Kickstart Gold Label, which is their like pineapple, mango, orange, something like that. They used to have
is that
those
the one
at
that comes
track
in like the tall cans
all the time. It does, and it is good. It's probably not good for you, but it tastes good.
I don't think I've ever had that. I've had like the Code Red and the Baja Blast, but not.
Oh, no. Those are just regular Mountain Dew flavors, I think.
Yeah.
You need Kickstart.
I don't think I've ever had that before.
Tim, what are people saying? If people are.
It mixes really good with Tito's.
I can't repeat.
Keep talking.
I can't repeat what one person said because it's not safe for work. But
okay.
Get some High Rock. So I think if you're not driving, that's a smart move.
Well, no.
Okay.
I should have said High Rock instead of Tito's. Yeah, you can mix High Rock perfectly with.
I was trying to be responsible because I know that Tiff already thinks that I'm, I like to have fun. So I didn't want to,
That's how I had to sell you on Kickstart, though. So we're already down the wrong road.
But if you're in a car ride, you can't be.
You cannot drink and drive. That is not okay.
I think it should be legal that if I'm in the back seat, then.
That's not how the laws work.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. I don't think we're going to be changing many laws.
I'd like to pass some laws today.
We're about to inform your drivers that they're going to need to check what's happening back there to make sure they're not in trouble.
So wait, you're leaving Saturday? You're not staying for...
No, this is going to be year two in a row that I've been down to Daytona but will not be there for the race.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that's rough.
Who's pre-race? It was Luke Combs the last 2 years, wasn't it? It's Dirks year, right?
It's Dirks, yeah.
He's a pretty solid option,
it's
I feel
solid,
like.
Yeah.
I love Dirks.
It's a solid choice. I think it's good.
Dirks is... I've seen him live. I saw him perform New Year's Eve in Nashville. I saw him perform at CMA Fest at Nissan Stadium. And he gives it his all. Like, after
he does.
Done, he's drenched. And his catalog, he's got enough songs that he can go a while before you, like, I don't remember that song. It's another solid performer that Daytona 500 has brought in.
I feel like Dirks never stops jumping. That was the first thing I noticed. I've seen him twice, once in the lawn, and all you see is this faraway figure that just like keeps going up and down. I'm like, there's Dirks. He's the one who's jumping. He did the pre-race at Phoenix 2 years ago for 2021. 22, and that was a good show. He played almost a full set list, and it was a pre-race concert in a NASCAR race. So
nice.
I think he's going to give Daytona his all. It's going to be a good show.
Agreed. Who would be your pre-race concert pick? We'll start with the producers in the booth over here since they didn't get to chime in on snacks.
My pre-race concert pick?
Yeah.
That's a good one, actually. I'm a country guy, so I think mine's pretty much what they already got. So I would just go Morgan Wallen or Luke Combs, to be honest.
Yeah. Okay.
Good choices.
What about
Dustin?
Ben? Does Ben
Dustin
have a microphone?
Ben?
Yeah. I can win. I have to go Hardy right now based off of how his album would be.
Okay.
Hardy. All right, yeah.
Dustin?
I'll take Luke Combs.
Okay.
Luke Combs. Okay, so right, Ben,
Andrew.
Ben, you took one of my two, and it was Hardy, and that was one where
one.
We were kind of talking about this yesterday. I'm like, I'm gonna save it for the show. No one's gonna see this one coming. And then Ben steals my pick. So that's kind
of took the air
uncool.
Right out of your sails.
Yeah, I think Hardy would be great. He's not maybe necessarily there where he's the big name in country music, but he would put on a great show. But of course, I would have to say Eric Church. If
Eric
you can get
Church
him,
would be mine. Yeah.
If you can get him, that would be a great show.
That would be great.
What do you think?
Give me T Swift.
Oh,
yes.
Give
really?
Me T Swift.
I don't think
let's
that's,
go.
That's
yes.
not the audience.
How? She yeah, can, but what? She can hit every. She can hit all sorts of demographics, though. The little kids will like it. The parents will like.
The parents will like it.
Everybody loves. Who doesn't like Taylor Swift?
I mean, she's all right.
I don't think for Daytona 500 it's the right like
why not?
Super Bowl, I think it'd be different.
She can perform anywhere. She's
yeah,
Taylor.
Yeah, I mean I don't. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So wait, Tiff.
Or here's like a little bit of a throwback, I guess. What about Imagine Dragons? They'd be good.
Mm.
Do y'all know many Imagine Dragon songs?
I Bet My Life.
Yeah.
On Top of the World.
You're pulling some from like their first album, I think.
They had a few that, like...
But there's good... I feel like they have some songs that fit the theme. I don't know.
What are people saying on YouTube?
We've got some Eric Church, Tim
yes,
Duggar,
yeah.
Leonard Skinner, The mm-hmm. Wiggles, very popular pick.
The Wiggles?
yeah, the Bee Gees. It's pretty good stuff.
You heard it here first. The Wiggles, 2024 Daytona 500 show.
I'm trying to think who else would be... Who would be a good person then? I'm trying to think of a country artist is where I'm going.
Barney.
Laney Wilson, I'd vote
yes.
for that.
Oh, Laney Wilson yes. would be good.
Good one, Jet Bennett.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's a good, I did not think of Laney Wilson. Yeah, she would be good. Ashley McBride would be another good one.
Ashley would crush it. Ashley might be vocally the best woman singer out there.
I agree.
The chords that she has. But it's also going to be hard to perform at Daytona just because of the setup. It's not
yeah,
a typical
it's
venue.
Not a, right.
Like how the noise, you know, disseminates in the crowd and everything. It's a little different.
Yeah.
Brothers Osborne would be good. I know they performed
yeah.
at Nashville.
They would be good.
Chris Figgett says Tyler Childers, and I'm right up there with him on that.
Yeah?
I don't
think. Does he have the energy
yeah,
necessarily?
See,
Tyler
yeah.
Childers, one
no.
of the best country music artists
that's
in the
not,
universe.
That's not what Andrew's saying, though. Andrew's saying energy. Tyler,
yeah, he has a lot of energy.
Tyler's,
it's absolutely insane.
Tyler stands there and performs. That's like Stapleton is vocally the best
right.
out there. But for a concert where people are partying and getting ready to have a race, I don't know if Stapleton is that guy.
What? Oh, I said Tyler Childers.
Yeah, I know, but
well,
I'm just saying,
but
like
in the same category.
Tyler
yeah, yeah.
and Stapleton are kind of very similar in their delivery at a concert.
Yeah, I don't know. I think like the same. Like I put Zach Bryan in the same category as Tyler Childers too. Like
yes.
I don't know if they'd be necessarily have the energy for a pre-race concert, but that doesn't mean it's not a good.
Have you seen?
Show.
Have y'all seen Tyler Childers live?
I've not.
No.
Ooh,
no.
man! Wow.
So I
crazy.
Guess we can't really talk.
Yeah.
What's it like then?
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, he's amazing. Tons of energy. Full band. It's, yeah, it's great.
Maybe
show.
We have to host like an auditions here at Dirty Mo. It could be like, we're going to decide who the next pre-race Daytona 500 concert is. We just have all of them play full shows here at Junior Motorsports.
Mean,
and
that
we
sounds great.
Decide.
That also sounds expensive. But I like it.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
But speaking of the Daytona 500, like, I'm going to be there, but I'm leaving.
Right. Andrew breaking a streak.
That's,
oh,
that's actually on purpose, Travis. Sorry.
yeah, yeah.
We don't
yeah.
trust him to stay there through
the 500. Is that
why
I'm being I'm going with two other people? They have to have two people to like chaperone me? Is
yeah.
that what it is?
That's mm-hmm. basically it, yeah.
I mean, it's probably a smart move. Though last time I was there, I'm pretty sure the Uber driver was more intoxicated than I was.
That's concerning.
That sounds really concerning,
It
yeah.
was when I left the duels last year. And, yeah, it was... It was a little sketchy.
You're still alive, so I mean, I guess that worked out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Andrew, tell us about your streak that ends this year.
Yeah, it's like, well, it bums me out because the streak has been going for as long as I've been doing this in the sport. Like, my first day holding, like, a microphone running around the camera was the 2014 Daytona 500. And yeah, this will be the first year since since then that I won't be at the race. And it's mostly just like I'll miss rolling up to the track and you know, I got to do all of it with my dad and, you know, I'll miss those memories, but you know, we'll get back.
I could do like a flat Andrew.
Does that count? Yeah, you want to take a picture and just like like cut it out. I can be at Daytona.
So your favorite driver was Jimmy, right?
Correct? Yeah, growing up.
So we're working earlier today, and out of nowhere, Andrew goes, "Oh my gosh, Jimmy's gonna be on the track with the 48 car driving by. That's gonna be weird." And we're like,
"Took him a really long time to put that together."
Like, yeah.
Have you not heard anything Jimmy's been asked about this entire? But what's it gonna be like for you to see Jimmy and the 48 out there?
Yeah. I don't know. And you know, we were talking, does this hurt his legacy? And yes, we can get into that. But I honestly think it's really cool, especially when we were able to sit down with him in Indy for the first pilot episode of Next Level. Like, I got to get a sense of Jimmy just freaking loves to drive. Like, at the end of the day, that's what he enjoys to do. It doesn't matter if he's doing a, you know, limited schedule or if he's just trying something in IndyCar, and even if it doesn't work, well, he tried it. I think that's what makes Jimmy cool, is like he just wants to race. So it was cool seeing, I just got excited seeing a single car lap around yesterday, just because, I mean, this is a 7-time champ. You know, when are we going to see something like that again?
I mean, it was impressive from what he did to at least, you know, make it on speed last night, but if he goes out there and flames, it's got to tarnish. Like, you can't say that it doesn't tarnish his legacy.
I don't think
so. See, it doesn't bother me. I love Jimmy. Great guy. Like, I think it's great that he's back. I loved the moment when Pastrana got out after he hit it, and he, like, ran to Jimmy, and they hugged, and it was super fun. Daytona isn't going to bother me, whatever. Like, because if you don't run well there, it's not because you can't drive. You probably just crashed. Like, that doesn't tarnish a legacy to me.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, you can crash at your prime anytime in the Daytona 500. If he goes to some of the other racetracks and runs really bad, like, that, I don't know that I'll love that. I hope that doesn't happen.
Where is,
like,
he going besides Daytona, you know?
I can't remember.
Chicago, I know.
Yeah.
What if he doesn't wreck, but he gets lapped early on?
Well, but again, like, how do you get lapped
if
you don't have a problem?
Draft. Yeah.
And yeah.
But what if he just
that's
has
not
a
good.
Bad.
It's just not.
The way I look at it, and you brought up a great point, is like, it's so unpredictable. I feel like Daytona is either, oh my gosh, look at how good that driver is, or you're net zero.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like you can only go up
in
Daytona.
But the rest of the year, though.
Unless you're the one that, like, causes the big one
causes
by doing something
Ricky
really
Jr.
dumb. Yeah. Then maybe you go down.
Like, he's, to me, like, he's so high up there that, like, he has no ceiling. Like, that's all floor for him. And so the only, like, he can't, there's not.
But I feel like he's accomplished everything.
Yeah, but you can, that's why you can tarnish. Like, Tom Brady, if he would have left after he won in Tampa, been good. But then last year, we're like, look at him. Like, and if he would have kept going, it would have been worse. Like,
do you think Michael Jordan?
Yes, playing with the Wizards was a bet. Like,
because how do you know I was going to go there?
It doesn't matter that nobody, like, yes, he had the block against Ron Artest that he pinned against the backboard, but people don't remember that. It's just, oh, he came and went to the Wizards where he could have had his last shot pushing off against Brian Russell in the shot, and you're good to go.
I don't know.
Now,
it doesn't change anything.
Now,
for
I
me,
think
honestly.
Over time, the MJ and his legacy people have forgotten that, and you look at the totality, but, like, depending on what happens, it's going to take time for people to forget what Jimmy did right now if he does bad.
Here's why Jimmy coming back is also cool, and this is what I wanted to share the other day, but I can't until now that we, you know, because the whole thing is save it for the show, save the good conversation. But if I know it's kind of hard to remember because we're a few years removed from it, but Jimmy's final season was done in front of half empty grandstands because of COVID. I mean, that Phoenix race, I was there. There were people there, but it was the biggest attendance in the year, and it was not crowded
at
all.
That is such a good point, because the difference between retirement for Jimmy and retirement for Dale, like, those final races in that final year.
Completely different.
Could not have been more different. And that made me sad for Jimmy. Although he might have liked not having like all the craziness that we went through. But yeah, that's a good point. I didn't think about it. But
Go ahead.
I think also, too, we saw Jimmy racing an Indy car, too. So you're kind of like, I think it might be maybe a little different if he just went away.
Yeah.
And then came back. But we saw him at Indy car. So it's like, you're just wondering. And then it's also that he's not driving the 48 car. He's not with Hendrick. So there's all these question marks. But if he does come out and he has, I'd say he does okay, then he's fine. But if he's got some bad races, that's when it's going to hurt it.
Yeah. I mean, I
but are you going to cry when you see him driving on Sunday?
No. No, I'm going to be happy to see it. You know, like I said, I grew up watching that 48. Now it's the 84 car race. But, you know, I get excited when I see
Have you bought any Legacy Motor Club 84 stuff?
No, I haven't bought any. Wow. I haven't bought any of that.
So you're not following him?
No, I bought a Jimmy Johnson Carvana T-shirt after the Indy 500 after we talked to him. So I feel like, you know, you gotta have something.
Did you get a favorite driver after Jimmy left?
Well, I mean, I was a Jimmy fan going into like day one of like, you know, doing the whole, you know, my microphone and camera stuff. And then I really just became a fan of drivers who I enjoyed talking to.
Okay, that makes it easier then, because if you had a favorite driver that you got picked after Jimmy and now Jimmy's back.
You know, I root for the people who are, you know, good guys because I've interacted with them and they're fun to talk to. So, and some of the people get a lot of, some of these drivers get a lot of hate when I think they don't necessarily deserve it, because at the end of the day, there's a lot of good personalities, I feel like, in the garage. And sometimes that gets overlooked, but
you're right. I mean, they get personas that people perceive them as that don't always match the actual person.
Yeah. I wanted to go, I was thinking about what you were saying about Dale and Jimmy's different years.
Yeah.
Didn't Dale get all those retirement gifts?
Oh my gosh.
What was the craziest one that you remember?
Everywhere.
And did you see any
his
of them
dad's
coming?
Dad's car at Talladega, like that was.
Yeah.
Were you with Dale on his last?
Yeah.
Right. So
what was that like?
Insane.
The last race was that Miami?
Yeah, Homestead.
What was that scrum like when Marty's interviewing him?
I'm right there in the picture. I'm right there beside Marty. It was crazy. But it was fun because it wasn't just a scrum of media. Like, the whole crew circled the car, too. So we were all there. Everyone had a beer together. And it's, like, me, Tyler Overstreet, Tony Mayhoff, so like, from the brand side. Man, photographers, me. Like, it was insane, but it was really cool because Dale was, like, he was just in such a good mood after, like, it wasn't the best race, but he was so happy to see everybody and drink a beer with his guys and just hang out, that it wasn't, you didn't feel the pressure sometimes that we were like in a hurry to leave or in a hurry to get done. It was just like, hang out with everybody and you're just in a giant pile and eventually it all sorts itself out.
I think it's one of the coolest, like,
it was cool
scenes, because, you know, when athletes retire, it's not the same in other sports because everybody doesn't run, the media doesn't run onto the court. And so it's in a press room or whatever. Whereas here it was right there and everybody around him, his car is right there.
Yep.
And so it's one, I think, a cool scene of, you know, athletes retiring.
It was cool. And I will say, I feel like media and everybody was really respectful in that moment too. Like, they let Dale do whatever he wanted to do, you know, stand there and drink and high five the guys and hug people and, you know, then would grab him for questions. And it was really cool.
I got to talk with Dale a few times that year. And I remember this was kind of in the middle of everyone was giving him little retirement gifts. So it was at Michigan, I think. And it was at the driver intro stage. I had a few minutes to interview him. And I'm like, I went to my dad. I'm like, we got to get Dale a retirement gift. But it's got to be like fun, lighthearted, cheesy. So we ended up going with one of those like tree car air freshener things. And I gave it to him. He's like, I stick these under the seat in the race car. I'm like, you do? And he's like, yeah, give it like 10 laps and the whole car smells like vanilla. And I'm like, what? I didn't know that. Apparently he did that almost every race. Yeah. I don't know if you knew that.
I don't know if I did, actually. Yeah.
So
I'll have to verify with Adam Jordan, who was interiors first, but yeah.
Yeah, it was,
I mean, I believe it.
I don't know what the inside of a car smells like, a race car, but
gas.
I feel
gasoline. Gas and a little bit of, like,
I don't know if gasoline and a scented candle, like, yeah, no. Like a scented tree thing is.
I think that's what the 88 smelled like most of the last year, at least. Interesting.
That's
hilarious. What are people saying on YouTube, Tim's?
Just Bill Brasky said just about Jimmy Johnson's legacy that it's set in stone. Whatever else we get from here is just a bonus.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's a good approach to it.
And I like seeing him back in the garage. Like, I don't know that how he runs is that big of a deal. Like, I want him to run good, but I'm not sure. To your point, it may seem hard to watch if he has a bad race or he's not performing well in the handful of races that he does, but eventually no one's going to remember. Like, that's not, when you think about Jimmy, that's not what you're going to remember.
I will say, at least, like, he's so good that, like, it's hard to envision where he's going to, like, fail that miserably because like, you know, he still has the skills and the knowledge. The interesting thing is going to be, how does he handle the next gen car?
Right.
He was a part of the testing on Phoenix, but like all these other drivers have a year's worth
of the rookie
experience.
Test.
Yeah.
And he has, you know, he had his one lap last night and now this, but like on Sunday, how will he handle, you know, being in a full field? And that'll be interesting.
But it's not like he's been sitting on the couch. He's been racing every week in a field of cars. So, I mean, Dale has a good example of this when he goes back to run late models. I've heard him talk about racecraft. So it is different when you go from one series to the other. Like, the mindset's different, the things you have to think about in the race. So there are definitely differences, but it's not like he's completely rusty coming off the couch.
One thing that was interesting, though, I was listening to some of his media day availability, and he said the biggest thing he forgot about the next-gen car was the fact that there's 5 gears. And so he was doing a lot of simulator practice on the next gen just to get a feel of it. He's like, I ran a full qualifying lap in fourth gear.
Yeah.
Not even he didn't even go the whole way. He's like, oh, that was my mistake.
I'm curious how some of these drivers, you know, they've looked up to Jimmy. And so, like, they're now like, how will they treat him on the track?
So
will he still get that same reverence, or will it be like, you know, especially you got Harvick on the way out, who's like, I'm going to go out and any beefs that I have, we're finishing this year.
Yeah.
Like, how will that be, you know, dealt with on the track?
On the track, yeah. He was saying that he went up to Eric Jones and Noah, and he's like, how do I drive this car? I don't know what I'm doing. And like, he was almost like a little mini 7-time champion rookie because it's a new car. I thought that was interesting.
I don't think it'll take him too long to
when you're one of the greatest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not saying he's going to go out and win.
Tiff's calling
in the
it now. He's going to win the Daytona 500.
That is not my pick for the Daytona 500.
Should we go there?
Yeah,
do you
we
have
can
a
go
pick?
There. Let's do it. Yeah, I'm taking Denny Hamlin.
No,
you're welcome.
No
content. You've got to pick somebody else. Who are you going with now?
No, how does that? how does that work?
Let's
you
make Travis.
Let me pick first.
I'm
the head of content. I want the content to be good, and so I'm picking Denny Hamlin because then that's going to give us a really good Actions Detrimental.
First How about
all,
this?
That's not fair.
You can't pick Denny,
and
you have to text Denny your pick for the Daytona 500.
Yeah.
Not be texting him and bothering him. I'm taking Kyle Larson then.
Five.
Oh, risky.
That's interesting.
I'm saying that in my brother's the crew chief. I would love to see them do well. But, like, I've never seen Kyle say that he likes super speed
racing. But see, here's my thinking is, if he wins, then I can hold it over that how you didn't even pick him, your own brother, and I got the victory.
I don't think Cliff would blame me if I reserve my Kyle Larson pick for a different racetrack than Daytona.
I'm just, you know, holding on to it.
I'm between two. I'll go with the number 12 of Ryan Blaney.
That's who I was going to pick. But
I feel like he's always in it. I mean, he lost a few times via photo finish at that race, right?
Yeah.
The 2020 Daytona 500, we forget, but it was a photo finish between Hamlin and Blaney to win that race. He was inches away from being a Daytona 500 champ, so I think this is the year. What do you guys think in the booth?
I don't have a pick, but I have a comment to read for Travis. Damn, that's the longest I've ever seen a beer last. So I think you have to chug your beer.
I was trying to be good. I was like, I noticed it was getting there. I was like, I don't want to finish it so fast.
I remember my first beer.
I mean, I didn't know if we're allowed to have like a second beer on this or not. So I was trying to be responsible here, guys.
Excuses. That's all I hear.
What would Stone Cold Steve Austin do?
My pick for the Daytona 500, I'll give everybody a long shot in betting terms, like Dirty Mo Doe.
Yeah.
Austin Dillon, 28-1. That's pretty good value.
I like that.
That is a good pick with those odds, yeah. I'm learning about odds and how that matters for betting.
I don't know if you listened, Alex, but Austin Dillon was one of the people that Dirty Mo Doe hosts were talking about, you know, especially – you don't necessarily have to pick him to win, but if you pick the manufacturer or top 10.
Or in
10,
like head-to-head matches and stuff,
Austin, I think. Both Austins
and
were.
And Cindric. Yeah, they were talking about.
Both drivers that they liked. And it's funny that I picked Larson when I want to say Steve.
He definitely told you not to pick
Larson. He took Elliott over Larson in the head-to-head. Mm-hmm. But
so you're already not even listening to your host on your own show.
Yeah.
You don't trust them.
No, right now I got to. They're degenerates. I got to prove that they know what they're doing.
All right.
Ben, what do you got?
I'm
going to
stick with the RCR trend and go with Kyle Busch.
I like
get
that
done
thing.
First time with his new team, I think that would be probably a pretty good story to start off the season.
That's one of those Daytona storybook.
Yeah.
You know, that's something where if you were to find out today that, look into the future, Kyle Busch wins the Daytona 500. I could totally see that happening. New team.
Yeah.
That's how you get the year started. I will say, when they posted a picture of that 8 car in the garage, I thought it was Reddick for a second. I still that's going
to
be hard to.
It always takes me a couple races to get used to the number changes. I agree. Yep.
I'm curious, though, how the Kyle Busch-Joey Logano beef carries over.
I don't think it does.
See, but
I don't think so.
Yeah.
Also, it has no merit, I feel like, because every driver is two-faced.
Right.
And I know we've talked about it, but and it's such a weird thing to get upset about. Good luck. And then you go race someone hard in the track. Well, like,
so you're
no duh.
You're not wrong, but athletes find things that aren't, like, Michael Jordan, the famous gif about I took it personally and, like, made up things. And so, like, whether we think it's dumb or not,
maybe he's
Kyle
using it to get motivated.
Could be use it. And so is he going to race Joey harder? Or is you know, Joey going to kind of, you know, be on the lookout? So, you know, it doesn't matter if it's true or not. Perception's reality. And right now, Kyle perceives Joey as two-faced. So to every driver out there, do not tell Kyle Busch good luck on Sunday. Just look
just
the
avoid
other
him.
Way. Do not tell him good luck.
Unless you think you might push him. So, like, whoever's starting behind him maybe could tell him good luck.
What's interesting, though, is on Actions Detrimental, Denny did say that Kyle's one of the most fair drivers,
racers
out there, which, I mean, will he race Logano differently? I don't think so. At least we won't see it this weekend in Daytona, because
if it had
happened
in a points race, like, maybe I could maybe see your argument. I don't think
and
the clash
was just so hard to navigate anyways.
Right.
And Kyle recovered from it too.
Yeah.
It wasn't like he, you know, his day was ended early. Like, he almost won it. So it's not like it was detrimental to his race.
Yeah.
Action's detrimental.
We have one more pick coming from the
Dustin.
Yeah, what do we got?
Oh, I like Alex Bowman. I like former junior motorsports driver, William Byron. Anybody who was here, just because we've garnered relationships over the years, so I kind of watch those guys pretty closely. So it's more of a selfless pick.
So we got a lot of Hendrick cars being picked here today.
We're
but,
pro
but nobody
here.
Picked Chase.
No, nobody picked Chase.
Yeah, I will say, my one claim to fame with Daytona 500 picks was I was a weekly guest on this Philadelphia, like, betting show, and they just call me every week, like, who's your pick? I called Michael McDowell for the year he won the Daytona 500.
Were you even old enough to gamble?
No, but I was just telling them who to gamble. Yeah, I was not old enough. I just turned 21, so, yeah. I was just spending other people's money.
Yeah. Gen Z, but don't ask him to share an iNote.
Yeah. Yeah, we tried.
Are they going to give you a hard time about your beer?
No, I'm a girl. I don't have to catch a hard time about beer drinking. It's part of the rules.
Also, they're all giving me a hard time, but they all picked Waters.
That's a good point. You can give them a hard time back.
Cheers, pal. Also, you've got, you're not even done yet.
Yeah,
you've
still got McDowell a little left. 2021, 100-1.
Oh.
Geeky fast.
In 2020, it was like 800-1, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, I think it was like 100-1, but.
Oh, so
yeah, 2021, I think it was like 100-1.
Yeah.
2021. Oh, so it was odds. Yeah.
Who's the sleeper? Beyond.
They have Jimmy Johnson at like 38-1, which I think is pretty good.
I think that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Where's Bubba at?
Bubba's,
you know?
At Bubba's like 16 or 18-1.
Yeah, Bubba's kind of one of the quote unquote favorites, I would say. Not like quite in that first tier, but
because he's finished second twice, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He almost won it last year.
And didn't they have Cindric not in the best?
Cindric was like
odds?
22-1, yeah. Which is, you know, I think the way they do it is not necessarily based off restrictor plate success. It's more of like the good cars.
Well, Steve was explaining this to us, and Travis can correct me if I'm wrong or anybody that knows anything about sports betting, but he said that the way the sports book work is they're like hedging their bets against where people are going to place the money. So it's kind of like a popularity contest. All the popular drivers, they're odds are always going to be
lower,
and then the other guys, it's not even really performance related at all.
Weren't we talking about Larson? And I think Junior was talking about Larson's. Way too high.
Yeah,
it's similar to like Tiger Woods for most of his career. Like the back half was usually always still the odds were pretty low because people want to hold a ticket that says they bet on Tiger when he won. Yeah. So it's always low. Now he's actually golfing this week. I want to say, and the odds are actually crazy. Like it's like 100, like 1,000-1, because he hasn't played in forever. So the Vegas now is kind of like, all right, he's not going to win this one.
Over.
But for the longest time, Tiger was still up there, him and Phil. But so Larson though is still one of the betting favorites.
Yeah.
What was your name we're looking for?
Bubba.
Austin Cindric is plus 2,000. Bubba is plus 1,800.
What's YouTube saying, Alex, for these dark horse picks?
Nothing on that, but I have a good Xfinity dark horse pick.
Okay. All right.
Which kind of goes along the terms Travis was saying. The favorites get pretty much bet up. Jeremy Clements, I think he won the race last July. He's 55-1.
That's a dark horse.
That's a crazy good good play there. And all the Junior Motorsports cars are one of the favorites, so good stuff for the shop.
I feel like colleague always works together
in
these Xfinity races.
I agree.
I haven't even thought about Xfinity picks yet.
Definitely didn't make an Xfinity pick.
We've got AJ Allmendinger coming in the chat. That's a good pick too, I believe.
Oh, for the 500?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you think he makes playoffs?
Well, so he was somebody that...
I'm saying no.
One of the bets they were talking about is you can bet...
Unless he wins a road course. You can't count him out on that ever. Sorry, Travis. Go ahead.
You can bet what you think is going to be the winning number of the car. And so you can bet like under 16.5, 21.
That sounded interesting.
And so Steve Letarte was taking the under 16 because that still gives you Hamlin...
Blaney,
like all
Cindric,
you know, if you go up a little higher, you lose the odds. But, you know, mentioned him, Allmendinger was someone that he was like, I'm willing to give up having him on my card to get a little better odds. But that was a fun one. And there's some interesting, you know, you can bet on.
Yeah,
I
learned a lot about how I would bet on the Daytona 500 if I knew even how to place a bet, but I don't. So
just keep listening.
Yeah. He's trying to teach us, but man, I feel behind.
Well, it's like you're jumping into like an AP class,
right?
As like it's an AP like senior class, and you're like a freshman, like.
But he's doing good, like explaining terms and stuff. So I definitely know a lot more than I did before these two episodes. I just have a long ways to go.
Are you going to Vegas?
No.
Oh, you're not. I was gonna say, learn as much as you can.
Yeah.
Place a bet in Vegas for the ultimate experience.
Now, I actually had this conversation with Mike this morning. I was like, Daytona, you could talk me into going. Vegas, but I don't want to be part of that. I've been there too many times.
So we could talk you into going to Daytona. So.
No. Not on a road
trip. I have an
trip.
Idea.
If there's no plane, I can't go.
I'll watch your kids.
Okay, we're talking.
Then Tim's
okay.
Like, okay, I'll take it.
That changes the game.
I think we should
send
you up to.
Don't sleep, right?
We need a reality show. Tiff gambles in Vegas.
I mean, all right.
Dirty Mo Media
with whose money?
Yeah. Latarts.
Perfect. I'm in. That could be fun.
What's the longest you would be? I mean, I know you're doing 7 hours going to Daytona, but what's the longest? Because none of us are, like, driving fans in terms of going long distances in a car. So what's the longest you'd go on a road trip?
Yeah.
I give it 4 hours. And then I got to get out of there.
So when I lived in Nashville, driving home was 6 hours. And so that was a drive that I did a few times.
Okay.
And I can tolerate that. Anything more was kind of the cutoff of there's reasons there's airplanes.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Yeah. I think I would probably say 5 for the same reason. That was my drive home to Smithfield, Virginia. So Virginia Beach for the reference from here. But man, I don't love it. I hate that drive.
The worst.
3 feels better. But, yeah, 5, I would do it.
The worst
that,
car ride I've ever done. I flew down to Texas, where my brother lives in Dallas. And myself, my brother, and his 3 kids, one was an infant at the time, drove from Texas to Ohio.
That's terrible.
When we got to my hometown, I got in my car and drove to Columbus to Ohio State. I'm like, I need to get out of here and have fun and be, I love my niece and nephews, but I cannot see them right now. Literally, like, the one was still being fed by a bottle.
Oof. Yeah, that's rough.
Shout out to both Keiths in the chat. They drove 17 hours and 16 hours in one day, respectively.
Whoa.
Ooh.
Wait. Why? What do you mean both Keiths?
There's 2 Keiths in the chat.
And both of them are long distance drivers?
Yes, they are.
Wow.
Wow.
Good
17
job.
Hours
That's
in a day?
Long drive. No, thank you.
Wait, are they? Did they say from where to where?
Not yet, no.
All right, I'd be curious.
I have done 11 to 12 hours when I was in Connecticut driving back to Ohio during COVID. That was like 11 and a half hour drive. There was one point where I stopped in Pennsylvania. I told my dad, I'm like, if you don't hear from me in an hour, something happened to me. I like took a nap in a rest stop.
and I mean, we think about, obviously, we're looking at Daytona as a far drive, but these hauler drivers have to do every single week.
Zero chance I could ever drive a truck.
Yeah.
I don't care. Like, no way.
A, it's a long drive, but B, then there's like, I feel like there would be pressure with a very expensive and very important race car and all the equipment and materials.
And with their CDLs, they can't get very many speeding tickets without losing it. Like,
and
no.
If I was a driver, I wouldn't be worried about myself necessarily. I'd be worried about the fans that, like, you know, if they see the trucker going, they're trying to get photos or something, and they're swerving, they mess up, and they cause the wreck.
True.
Like, you know that there's fans that get excited if they see a hauler of, you know, their favorite driver. They see Denny Hamlin's hauler going down the road.
Yeah.
Trying to snap some photos.
Like, yeah. If they swerve at you, that's not good.
I don't know.
They usually drive in pairs, though, right? Is there 2?
I think for the bigger teams.
The longer trips. I was just talking to Taylor Moore.
Oh, you mean how many drivers are in the car?
Yeah.
How many trucks go together?
No. How many drivers are in the truck?
Okay. I was just talking to Taylor Moore. I think he needs a second driver
for
18 races out of the year.
It's all regulated. So, like, there's certain races where they have to, like, to get there in the time, they'll have to swap off. But otherwise, there's a single.
That's the other hard part is just driving alone. Like, I mean, I love to sing in the car, but after a certain point, like, you just now, like, you think you're going crazy because you're just, like, singing or talking to yourself or it's just silent.
Well, they have CB radios. They could talk to other truckers.
Breaker. I would be talking a bunch.
Are you a carpool karaoke guy?
Can we get a GoPro and put it in the Suburban?
I don't know if it's going to be that exciting. You're going to be the GoPro in the back earbuds.
No. I can make it entertaining if there's content on the line for it.
All right.
You're gonna
you can take the GoPro.
The question is, at what point does Micah or James like text you and be like, Tiff,
get this guy out of our car.
Who's sorting through 7 hours of GoPro video? That's your job,
Travis.
While everyone's setting up. Yeah, actually.
We just do like an hour. You capture an hour. You lie to the audience.
Oh, is that what we do here?
That's their snippet.
All right, let's talk podcasts for a second,
yeah.
And then we're going to bring Alex and Ben out. So, Travis, you've got 2 big podcasts, but I think what people would be interested in is what it's like to work with Denny. Like, what was your expectation of what that would be like, and what is it really like? Were they the same? Did it match up?
I don't know what, like...
I mean, we didn't tell you you were working with Denny until you got here. Yeah, when you hired me,
I had no idea what
start,
I was
so,
producing.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what my expectations were, but I will say that, like, you know, we have a group text with Jared, his co-host, who runs his social media. So it's Denny, Jared, and I. And then we also have a shared note. And, you know, Denny is hands-on as it gets, you know, thrown out ideas, you know, hey, I want to talk about this. I want to talk about that. Like, it's been enjoyable from the start. And, you know, especially, like, I'm the new person. So it's like I'm trying to ease in and find a way. But it's like, hey, I've got these ideas, Denny. What do you think? And he's like, love it. Let's do it. Like, yeah. He's very, like, receptive to ideas. And, like, he'll, you know, hey, I'd rather talk about this than instead of that idea. And, like, and then as a producer and an editor, like, he makes it real easy with the stuff he makes, you know.
Yeah.
He gives a lot of content, so it makes it easy to, you know.
A lot of content and not a lot of fluff. So he does a good job.
I think his mom might be getting a little upset with him after this last episode. We had a lot of cussing. I think I might see maybe like initiate a cuss jar.
Swear jar.
Yeah, swear jar for him because he said at the end his mom doesn't like it. Apparently Jared said like if they're ever in the bus, like she'll cover her ears and say, Denny, I don't like that.
That's awesome.
But no, it's been fun. Harvick was my favorite driver. I found a loophole in switching teams, and that's if you produce the person's podcast, you're able to
that
jump
makes sense
ship.
To me. Yeah.
So, sorry, Kevin, if you're probably watching this right now.
Probably is in Daytona.
Yeah, probably. I mean, I'm guessing all the drivers are tuning in right now, but so, you know, we're on the 11 now and
all right,
for it. And then with LaTarte, it's
that was going to be the next question. How's everything going there? That is a rowdy.
Can I say one
degenerate
thing
about
LaTarte? Is our office is all the way down at the end of the hallway. I know when Steve LaTarte is here with the door closed. I basically hear the podcast it goes because he's got a very booming voice.
Yesterday he got loud and you could even hear it kind of like echoing off the walls. And Steve does not lack energy.
He does not lack energy. No. He brings the energy and he keeps that podcast moving.
I forgot to tell him though. He sent me a text yesterday and I hadn't responded to the text, but it was like maybe 4 minutes old. I then get a phone call basically saying the same thing I just said. I'm like, yeah, we're good. I like that plan. Like, we're good. So I just gotta let him know.
He didn't want to wait.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's a fun one. It's him, Chopper, and the professor, and all three are different, which I think is what makes the podcast. You know, Steve is the racing expert, you know, former crew chief and all that. The professor is the numbers guy that works in racing, and the spreadsheets that he sent, I think you were on one of the emails, and I'm like, I don't even know what I'm looking at right now. And then Chopper is he's the gambler.
Yeah.
And from what I'm understanding is he really gambles.
Yeah.
He likes to gamble on a little bit of everything.
I like when they asked him how much he lost on something and he was like, enough for it to matter. And I was like, I don't know how much that is, but from somebody that gambles all the time, I feel like it's a lot.
Well, I'm curious what Denny bet on the Super Bowl because he said that
he joked that he was going to buy
a fleet of cars for the family.
That's a good point. Yeah.
That's
insane. He was contemplating how many cars he was going to buy with what he won on the Super Bowl.
That's crazy.
Right?
I just bought a car, so I was like, man, maybe I could have, like, hey.
Could have gotten on that Denny car program.
Can you get me on that?
Andrew, DBC, how's that been?
DBC,
The guys welcomed you with open arms?
Yeah. I mean, we only had 1 week.
Yeah.
You know, we took this week off. So,
slackers.
Yeah, I know. Freddie was in Florida, and I don't know where the others were. But, no, it's been fun, and I'm looking forward to getting to know that group. I've gotten to know TJ. Freddie a little bit over the years, but to actually work with them, I'm looking forward to doing. And you know, basically, you got to be a babysitter some of the time.
For sure.
That's what
Casey
says.
That's a requirement.
So
with that
I'm here to at least help Casey out a little bit.
There you go. I'm sure she appreciates that.
Yeah.
So we gave like the kid the job as the babysitter.
Yeah, the youngest person here, maybe. It's the one in charge.
Yeah.
It's maturity level. Seems
right.
Seems to work out.
I'd like to hear from Tim and Ben.
Well, I'm going to bring them out here in a minute, but let's. Next level.
Oh, yeah.
What do we have
in
store?
Are you going to call any guests and see if they're available? I'm not going to say their names, but are you going to finally call somebody.
Yeah, we can't really preview who the guests are going to be. Yeah, that would be.
But the idea is
unfair,
we're talking. Yeah. There's some exciting stuff, some conversations we'll have in the next couple of weeks about future guests. But, I mean, a lot of them are, you know, what's great about this show and what was great about having Ken Squire, was that we were able to go to him. Ken Squire was a guy that, you know, we wanted to get on the download, but it was easier for us to bring our equipment to him.
Right.
And so that's what this show is about. And so, you know, there are people that we've discussed having on the download that might be easier logistically to
go to
them. And so we're talking with some of those, some of those names.
From the Ken Squire interview, what was the one thing that stood out, like either that you didn't know or you thought was like the coolest moment from talking to him?
I loved Ken's quick wit, and I think we got to see a fair amount of that, especially the last video, which I didn't even know we were going to keep it in, but when I asked, hey, Ken, can we get a picture? He's like, no, that's going to cost extra, actually. And he had so many of those, whether the cameras were rolling or not, those one-liners, even as we were leaving, you know, we thanked Ken, we thanked Ashley, his daughter, for having us and hosting us those few days, and Ken goes to Ashley. He's like, did we check all the utensils? Like, as if we were stealing utensils. So little moments like that are the ones that I'm going to enjoy the most. So,
nice.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's get Alex and Ben out here.
Do a quick pit stop.
Yeah. A quick change.
Ready for you.
Travis, did you finish that beer yet? Oh, he did.
You know what? Just because I'm getting crap.
We're going to swap over, let these guys get their headsets on, and let's talk a little Speed Street, Ben. You're not here in-house with us that often, so I feel like this is a special appearance. It was just your birthday.
It was.
So happy birthday.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Did you do anything fun?
We went to Topgolf.
That's
a good group. That was very fun.
Nice.
It's tough having a birthday right in the middle of the week, because especially on a Wednesday, because you kind of can't really celebrate the previous weekend.
Point.
You know, the next weekend's still a couple days away. So, you know, we had a good time on Wednesday, but the rest of the party continues tonight and tomorrow and Saturday.
Oh,
so,
wow. This is a big celebration.
It is.
Okay.
Yes.
I like it. All right. Speed Street. You've been working with those guys for a while.
Yeah. Yeah.
What was there? Did you know a lot about IndyCar before you started?
I did.
The
yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I was more into NASCAR, but. Yep. I got really into IndyCar probably the last like 3 or 4 years. So
from working with Connor and Joey, what do you have, like a cool thing that has come up that you wouldn't have known about those guys before you started working with them? Have you learned a lot about, you know?
Yeah. So honestly, what really surprised me was I followed both of them for a while, and Joey especially with his impressions and everything. And, you know, he's obviously a big NFL guy, big indie sports guy, working on, I think it was a Pat McAfee show. He interned there, and then he kind of went on his own thing. I didn't realize he was into racing like he was.
Yeah.
Like, he, big Indy 500 guy, loves IndyCar, which IndyCar is so niche right now, and they're kind of on the come up on everything. So how his knowledge on that is what really surprised me, and just how he's eager to keep learning everything. I think it's awesome. And, I mean, he pairs so
that
great
is
with
cool.
Connor.
Yeah.
Yeah, he pairs so great with Connor. They get along
they
very well.
They play off
so
of each other really
they
well.
They do, yeah.
And I didn't really know Connor before – you know, the podcasts are starting here. He's hilarious.
Oh,
I love listening to
him. Yeah, he's a great person. I think he's the best personality in IndyCar.
Oh,
if not
for
in
sure.
general motorsports, he's one of the best personalities. He just gets content, and he just likes to have fun.
And he talks about it all the time. Like,
yeah.
I think they've joked on the show a few times that he should be like VP of marketing for IndyCar. Yeah. But like, he really loves it. He's so passionate about it. He's always throwing out ideas about how they can get better and what they should try. And
I mean, he's got the tie-in with his stepdad, Doug Bowles, being the, you know, the Indy track president, and his mom being super involved with that, and his dad being a former racer. So he grew up with all aspects, and especially with he was doing the Formula One stuff probably a little over 10 years ago, where he was over in Europe. So he's just had such a vast knowledge of IndyCar. And I mean, he's doing NASCAR stuff now, obviously.
Yep.
Did the Roval last year. He's doing the Daytona 500 now.
Have you talked to him?
We were texting last night, him, me, and Joey, and he was pretty disappointed with what happened, especially not having any practice. His car, I think they had some electrical issue or something.
Right.
So
electrical issue that I think caused a problem with the oil line.
Yeah.
And
yeah, so that was super disappointing just because he was super eager, super stoked to get this opportunity. And he said, he's like, I don't know if I'll be able to do this again. So just wanted to make the most of it. It's very tough with not having practice.
For sure.
So.
Yeah. Mm. Well, we've heard that on pretty much all of the podcasts this week, how crazy it is that we don't have practice before Daytona 500 qualifying in the duels.
Right. Especially with, you know, the team that he has, I mean, it's a pretty small operation. So
yeah, you need that shakedown.
Yeah. Yeah. And they kind of had some issues last year at the Roval too.
Yeah.
In practice, they barely got out too. So it's just, it sucks for them. I hope they figure it out. I think he's got Travis in his duel. Travis Pastrana is a good buddy, so hopefully that he can help him out.
And we were trying to figure this out earlier, but really the simple thing for Connor is he has to beat the other two open cars in his duel. That's the only way he makes it into the 500.
Yeah, so it'll be his first time drafting with stock cars on the big track.
That
so
is
we'll have to
an insane amount of pressure, but we will be cheering for him.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So. Nice. Alex?
Yeah.
Three episodes a week,
yeah.
How's that going?
It's a tall task, but it's fun. It's fun to do 3 days a week. It's a lot of fun. Like, we get to do a lot more current industry topics and we don't just get the weekend Monday kind of like news cycle. We also get, you know, the midweek type of stuff too. Like, you know, qualifying was last night. We got to come in and do something today. It's out now.
I love that.
Yeah. So it's really fun to like, kind of like we don't miss something or something that gets buried by the weekend that we never talked about.
Right. Because by the time we wouldn't be talking about Daytona 500 qualifying when we come in for the download next Tuesday.
Exactly.
No one cares about qualifying at that point.
And I think Travis Pastrana and Jimmy Johnson both qualifying in is a
big storyline.
Cool
story.
Yeah. So we get to talk about it. So it's awesome. Yeah.
What is your favorite episode of the three shows? Like, what's the favorite show for you?
So this might be a shocker, but it's the Thursday episode. Yeah. I think it's
same here.
Yeah. I think I've always liked the reaction to the guest.
Yeah.
Because I feel like there's a lot, like, for instance, last week we got to call Sterling Marlin back.
Right.
And that was something we never could do before. And there was questions that even I was like, oh, man, the Fender incident in 2002. We never even talked about that. So it's that's fun. And then we have new segments that we're introducing. Like, you know, if you haven't listened yet, you know, Amy.
You should listen.
You should listen because it's, you know, Amy asked Dale questions and it's fun.
He did way better on that than I would have ever predicted he would do.
Yeah. The fact he got the car question right to the color car that was like her favorite.
Like said it exactly the same way. Yeah, that was impressive.
Yeah, it shows
good job,
meant
Dale.
To be. Yeah, that's pretty awesome. But yeah, that's got to be my favorite. And I can't wait to see what other stuff comes out of that show.
Yeah, that's why I like that one too. I feel like it's definitely the loosest show.
Yeah.
But it's fun to see like what comes up and how it goes and all the things that we might come up with to throw in that one. So
yeah, exactly.
I'm excited to see where it goes.
Yeah, yeah. That's by far my favorite.
Now, if we take Dirty Air and Ask Junior Live, is that's a good thing for you, right?
I think so.
You're all for it?
Yeah, I'm all for it. Yeah. My job's easy. I sit back and listen to them and, you know,
the pressure's on them.
Yeah.
Right.
If they say something stupid, I'll get a look from one of them in the booth. Like, you already just said, am I the only one? So, you know, I'm easy with that. Yeah. Go ahead.
That'll be fun.
Yeah. Exactly.
I think we'll get there at some point.
Yeah.
Soon.
Hopefully.
As long as we just don't put DBC on a live show.
Yeah. I don't know that DBC is ever going to be live. Yeah.
No.
I don't know if anybody's got a sensor button trigger that quick.
Right.
No.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
I think between Andrew and I think we'd have some major problems with that.
And there's no way they're censoring themselves enough to like.
Absolutely
not.
Yeah.
No, I agree. That's impossible.
Yeah. Definitely.
Maybe one day we'll just tell them it's live, even if it's not. See if anything changes.
We'll do some trials.
Yeah, do some trials.
We could try that. Yeah.
I think
it might cut
guys,
down editing time.
They might do some like, you know, inside jokes and then they'll just like look at Andrew and be like, they just laugh at him, like try to make it difficult on him. I feel like they'd always be up to something.
There would, I don't know that a live show would actually work in our favor. I feel like they would come up with some way to make it where it was still difficult to edit.
At some point, yeah.
Or they decide it was free game for all the cuss words they could throw out. Who knows?
Yeah, that's true.
You never can tell.
That's a good point.
Anything we've got in the chat that we need to go to before we wrap up?
It seems like the Keiths are still talking about their
road trips.
Their road trip, and they're giving each other and other people in the chat advice. So have they
input their road trip snack yet?
Did
y'all get to chime in on that, Ben or Alex?
I didn't. So my strategy with road trip snacks is you got to have like you got to have some sort of cooler to put everything in. Like I like most of my, I don't know why, but if I'm snacking on a road trip, I like my snacks cold. I couldn't tell you why. So throw your beverages and all your snacks all in the same spot. It keeps it together too. Because if you're riding shotgun, I think that's the number one. Like you are the snack person. Like you got to reach back there, grab it from if there's anybody in the back seat.
So. I am not gonna plan enough probably to have all of my stuff in a cooler.
Cooler,
for a
it goes
trip.
A long way. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm a driver, like I said. I don't really go on long road trips unless I'm driving. So I also don't, but I also have to go to the bathroom like once an hour. So I will stop.
Well, you went twice already.
Exactly. So like I will stop. So I'm like very like, I will stop as long as you guys want, but like get your snacks like in that moment. Like don't ask me to stop just for snacks.
I mean, those energy drinks go right through you too. Like
exactly.
They keep you awake, but if you have to stop every 30 minutes. Like I don't,
I'm not a food guy
there.
On the road. I'm more of a like
really?
Soda or an energy drink guy. Yeah. All like right. That's more what I'm stopping for. But if I had to, I'd just stop and get like a McDonald's cheeseburger, honestly. That's probably my go-to.
Nice.
Yeah.
Anything else that we need to throw to Andrew before we get out of here?
Jerky, Red Bull Monster, M&M's.
Solid.
Those were some of the options. And Tim's, I'm right there with you. I gotta use the bathroom a lot, especially if you're not the driver. It's even more stressful.
Yeah.
Because it's like you have to ask, like, hey, I know we just stopped, but
That's why I drive most of the time. Like, listen,
that's fair.
I
you get to pull over whenever you want. Over.
Exactly. So
that's fair. I will not be the driver. I drive too fast, and I've gotten plenty of driving awards in my life, which is what I named speeding tickets because I've accumulated so many. They are not on my record, however, so that's good.
I don't know if you guys have ever done an overnight road trip, and like I always go the night shift. I love it. It's very peaceful.
Yeah.
But I love when like your friends wake up, like, "Ooh, where are we?" I'm like, "You're like 12 states away." I'm like, "I made a wrong turn. So we're actually in Colorado. We're supposed to go to New York." So, but I figured, why not?
Yeah.
It brings out the creativity trying to make the most comfortable bed in the back seat. That's what I always enjoy about it. Like, like you're using bags to kind of lay on. You got other things to use as pillows. So the creativity really comes out. That's why you gotta plan.
That's why I'm not going on a long road trip because I cannot sleep in cars.
It's relaxing. I like it. Yeah, you got the bumps in the road. To kind of give you a little massage. It's very peaceful.
It's relaxing when you're like. You just naturally doze off, but when you're trying to sleep, it's impossible. Yeah,
that's true.
I will. That's also why if I'm driving, I'm not falling asleep. But if I'm in the passenger seat and the air conditioning's on and the music's playing, I'm out. Don't talk to me. Like, doesn't matter what time of the day.
I'm always jealous of people like you.
Yeah.
All right. Well, are you giving me the signal? Yep, we're done. Okay. Chat's closed. No, we're just kidding. We've got bonus episode of Dale Jr. Live coming to you Saturday afternoon. As soon as Travis gets it edited and up, we'll have Jimmy Johnson and Chad Canales talking about Daytona, Garage 56 for Chevrolet. And then full suite next week. Everybody's back in action. So full roster of shows coming at you.
Go Connor Daly.
Go Connor Daly. We're cheering
for
Connor
Daly
in the duels.
He's starting last, but he's going to get her done. He's hopefully going to send it.
And then team orders. We need all the DMM cars and spotters to finish up front in the Daytona 500.
And he's going to take Speed Street once he makes the duel, too. Just
perfect.
Need to make sure.
Okay.
Got to get coverage. So.
I like that. Good plan. All right. Thanks for tuning in, y'all.
Check out Dirty Mo Media on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Dirty Mo.